Good morning. Welcome to the Morning Show on WRCA Radio. I'm Ron Fruit. Today we're going to talk about Medicare Part D open enrollment. It's an incredibly timely subject, and in fact, we're going to be talking about deadlines, and they're going to be here before we know it. So it's a good time to welcome Joanne Welsh to the studio today. Her schedule is crazy busy right now, so to have her in the studio for a while is certainly a privilege. Joanne is the Elder Benefit Specialist for Richland County. Joanne, welcome. Good morning. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Ron.
What a busy time it is. I know it's busy for everyone, but for you, our busyness is multiplied many times over as you try to help us prepare for that December 7th deadline.
That is correct. This is the very busiest time of the year for me, so I'm doing nothing but Part D season right now.
Well, this is the time that we need to be motivated because everything is available to us now, isn't it?
Right. This is when you make your choices for January 1st coverage.
Now, Part D, let's define what we're talking about and what the options are, Joanne, so we're all on the same page at the outset.
So Part D is D stands for drug coverage. So it's the prescription drug coverage that you have with Medicare.
And that everybody that is over 65 or is on Medicare is eligible for Medicare Part D?
Right. They can be in a Part D drug plan, which is a federal employee. Insurance companies, or they can be in Wisconsin Senior Care, which is for people 65 and older, and it's a state plan.
Which, in this case, if that's still working for me, fine. In fact, if what I have is now working for me, that's okay, right?
That's right. I mean, with Senior Care, you are automatically, get an enrollment letter when it's time to review, and that's every 12 months. So if you're happy with Senior Care, you don't need to do anything. When the renewal letter comes, you fill it out with the current information, send it back, send your $30, and you're good to go.
When I think about trying to find information for Medicare Part D, if you go online and type it into a search engine, you have to be really careful because every insurance company in the world pops up and it looks like that's where I should be, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not the first thing that pops up. Where I go is to www.medicare.gov for government. But you're right, that does not pop up first. Sometimes it'll say medicare.com, and that is an insurance agent site. So, be careful what you are typing in. Another thing is be careful of your browser. If you're using Internet Explorer, it does not work with the Plan Finder. That's no longer maintained. So any other browser other than Internet Explorer works.
We'll talk about a lot of important things today, but one of the most important is that there's a procedure that your office needs so that you can serve us well. And if we'll follow that, we'll help you do your job and you'll get back to us sooner.
Yes. Yes. So if people are not comfortable with a computer, don't have computer access, and need help looking at their drug plan for 2023, they can call our office and ask the receptionist to send them out Part D forms. I need, Medicare is very, very confidential, so I need releases in order to look for a plan for you. So the receptionist will send you out the paperwork, and you're going to list, information off your Medicare card, all of the drugs you take, and it's very specific, like, for instance, simvastatin, 20 milligrams, I take 2 pills a day, or 60 in a month. I need all of those drugs. And Part D covers only prescribed medications, nothing over the counter. So if you're taking aspirin, even if the doctor has prescribed that, it's not covered. Tums are not covered, things like that. Anything you can buy without a prescription would not be covered by Part D.
Now, when I'm filling out this sheet, do I need to really have my medications right in front of me so I can copy exactly what I see on the label from the pharmacy?
You need to be very careful. I am not a pharmacist, so if you misspell it, I may not be keying in the proper drug. So oftentimes people will give me a computer printout from the pharmacy, and that works really, really well. Just make sure that, the drug strength is on there, the 20 milligrams, the number of pills that you take. If you are taking a Part B for boy drug, like nebulizer treatments, those are, don't put those into the plan finder because Part D does not pay for it. Part B for boy pays for those.
Is that a common occurrence?
Yeah. The nebulizer things can be purchased by Part D, but they're more expensive. And if your Medicare card pays for it rather than your drug card, you don't want to include that in the list.
Well, let's add some confusion, shall we?
Yes, I know. It is confusing. But you know that you're paying for those nebulizer things, sure, because you're showing the pharmacist your Medicare card and not your drug card.
Okay, that's a good, yeah, that's a good barometer, yes, right there, yes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What else will be in that information packet? So I follow your advice. I call ADRC right away, talk to the receptionist, say, send me the Part D material so I can fill it out for Joanne.
Right.
What else will be on there besides the listing of my medications?
Name, address, phone number, your Medicare number, your Part A start date, your date of birth, and then you're signing a release that allows me to access your Medicare account or create a Medicare account if you don't already have one. And then there's the drug list on the back that you have to put in. You know, like I said, most people are getting printouts from the pharmacy. It's a little easier to read. If you're giving me a whole year or 3 months, highlight the ones you're currently taking. Sometimes when I get one for a whole year, I'm kind of looking at that, trying to figure out, well, do you still take this drug or not? You know, it makes it more difficult. So, you know, try to make it as clear as possible. You know, these are the drugs that I'm taking. This one I crossed out because I'm no longer taking it, that kind of thing.
Now, that being the case, it's critically important because the decision on what plan is right for me, if there's something on there that I'm not taking anymore, but confused or construes my report, that would be bad, wouldn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, because then you could be, you know, I could be telling you, you know, giving you information on a plan that's not going to work as well for you. It's going to be maybe more expensive. So it is important to be extremely accurate. And another thing is, due to the sheer volume of the people that I'm helping, I can only do it for you one time. So it's really important that you're very, very careful with the drugs that you're putting down, and you make sure that you put down all the drugs you're taking and delete the ones you're not.
If I already have an online account, do you need my credentials if I want you to look at it?
Yes. If you have set up your own Medicare account, then I do not have that. And so there is a place on that form to put that information, your username and password.
Which will be critically important to have accurate as well.
Right, because what I do is it's a personalized search. And so when I key your account in, I can even look at the drugs that you took in the last 12 months and bring them forward on the drug list and make sure that it's very accurate. So doing the personalized drug list where you use the username and password is much more accurate for people.
Now, what happens then? I call. We've established that. That's important. I don't ask for you. Simply tell the receptionist, I need you to mail me the packet for the Part D Medicare open enrollment period.
That's right. And then you fill out all the paperwork. You can drop it off at our office. There is a drop-off box in front of our building if you prefer to do that. And then it's given to me. And then what I do is I key that information into the computer. I look at your current plan and two other drug plans that come to the top of the drug list. There's 23 drug plans for 2023, and they're sorted by the overall drug costs. So typically I stay to the top of the list because that's the least amount that you're going to pay. And then I compare those two other drug plans with your current plan and send you a list, a personalized search of each plan, and a letter explaining what I've seen. And I'll even put in remarks on, geez, you could save $700 by switching. I recommend that you switch to a different plan. Or the savings is $25. If you're happy with your current plan, maybe you just want to stay with it. You know, that kind of thing.
Now, it's certainly possible that somebody's life and health have changed significantly in the last 12 months. If that's the case, that's one of the largest red flags that we need to be studious right away and take a look at this circumstance, isn't it?
Well, that's it, because, you know, you might be in the best plan for 2022, but maybe for 2023, your plan has changed the drug, the pharmacy. Maybe you can't go to your pharmacy anymore. And for many people, people, they rely on that pharmacy. They have a relationship with that pharmacist, and that's a big deal for them, and they want to continue to go there. So, you know, you do want to make sure that you can continue to go the same place and that all of your drugs are covered. Several years ago, we had a plan that was $22 a month. People, lots and lots of people were in it, was offered at all three pharmacies here in Richland Center. But it changed for the next year, and it went from $22 to $52 a month. Everybody who read their annual notice of change and looked at their plans for the next year made changes, and they switched and saved money. People that all of a sudden on January 1st, they realized, oh my goodness, my plan has increased so much. And unfortunately, they're locked in for another year, so they can't change.
And I can't drop it because I'm in trouble then,
That's too, right. You have to have a drug plan or have a late enrollment penalty when you later need drug coverage. So there's very few special enrollment periods that I can get people into if they make a mistake. So it's best to be proactive. Look at your drug plan. Make sure that it's going to work for the next year.
Given the sheer volume of what you're trying to do, Joanne, you really need us to have that return to you basically in the next month, don't you?
Yes. We've got on the form, it says November 23rd. Obviously, the sooner you can get it to me, the faster I can get the information back to you. And then you have to make the decision whether you're going to enroll in a different plan. So you can call 1-800 to enroll, or I will give you the phone number on the information that I send to you on the plan name, so you can call the plan itself to enroll as well. And some people that feel comfortable on the computer could also enroll over the internet.
Now, if we feel comfortable, we can go in, make the same comparisons, do what you're doing, and make that decision ourselves, can't we?
Absolutely. And many people do that. Actually, they Medicare is saying that this is simple enough that you can do it on your phone. I think it would be more difficult because you can't see as much on a smaller phone. But a lot of people go into the plan finder and look at it. And, you know, it can be very enlightening. Oh, my goodness. If I use this pharmacy instead of that, I could save a lot of money, or mail order. Typically, though, I don't get a lot of people that choose mail order because they do like that relationship with their pharmacist.
Is that one of the important things we need to look at beyond price, is where the availability or my prescriptions are coming from, Joanne?
Well, if you go to a preferred pharmacy, it's always going to be less expensive. There's preferred pharmacies, there's in-network pharmacies, and of course, if you go to an out-of-network pharmacy, you'd pay full cost for your medications, so you wouldn't want to do that.
But is that part of my choice when I'm signing up with my new plan or staying with my existing plan?
Right. I mean, you know, you can give me options. You know, you can say I want this pharmacy and that pharmacy, and I can run both of them. And you can say, oh, well, geez, I wouldn't save that much. I'm going to stay with my current pharmacy, you know, or that kind of thing. So I can look at multiple pharmacies and give you that information, and you can then decide, is that important enough that I want to switch?
So following that timeline, we call the receptionist, we request the packet, it gets sent to us, we fill it all out carefully because we have a one-shot deal here. That's as much as you can do.
That's right.
You'll run it, and then we'll get a printout sent back to us.
Yes.
But then we need to be astute in making sure we've implemented change, if we're going to, by December 7th.
That's correct. And I would not wait to the last day to make the change. In years past, sometimes, the phone lines went down. It can be difficult. It could be hard to get through. So I would not wait till the very last day. I would try to enroll as best you can in the month of November, if you can.
They're not going to change between, let's say I do November 15th and December 7th. Nothing is going to change in between there, is there?
No. The plans have had to give all of the information to the Medicare website way long time ago. So that's not going to change. I wouldn't advise you to change like October 15th, because sometimes there are some late plans giving some additional information, but by November 1st, there is going to be hardly any changes at all, very, very little.
So now is a good time to be looking or calling and getting that opportunity.
That is right.
As someone who probably can see every screen at Medicare.gov in her sleep.
Yes.
Are there some pitfalls or some things that you'd warn us about that maybe we might make a mistake and trip on where we don't use it every day, Joanne?
Actually, there is this year. The Inflation Reduction Act for 2023 has capped insulin products at $35 a month. So that unfortunately just passed just recently, and so it's not in the plan finder. So it's more difficult to look at that if you're doing it yourself. What I have to do is key the drugs in and leave out your insulin, find the lowest cost plans, and then key the insulin back in again and make sure that your plan covers the insulin. And then I write on there that that is $35 and not the amount that shows up on the plan finder. So it's complicated, yes.
If I am a diabetic, would I be best off then to request the packet and let you deal with that?
You might, or talk to your pharmacist. Some of the pharmacies are helping people do that, so you certainly can do that as well. There is, if somebody does make a mistake with the insulin, because it's so confusing right now, they have granted exceptional circumstances for all of next year. So you could come and see me and say, I got in the wrong plan because I did it myself. I didn't know that, this insulin wasn't going to be covered, whatever. And I can call 1-800 Medicare and get you exceptional circumstances and we can move you into a different plan.
Ideally, though, to avoid the headache, doing it right the first time would be a huge advantage.
It is more difficult with the insulin this year because it doesn't show up correctly on the plan finder. Insulin is horribly expensive. So on the plan finder, it's going to show up much more than $35. Now, the question is, too, what are you going to pay on January 1st for your insulin? There's been talk that maybe some of the plans will make you pay the entire amount and then refund the excess money back to you. I'm not really sure what's going to happen, but you will, eventually just pay $35. That first month, I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Well, and I think about, dealing with your pharmacy, obviously they're going to know clearly and understand every number on your list and everything else. It strikes me that that would be a good place to begin if you're in that circumstance.
Absolutely. They are going to guide you and explain this, how to get your money back if you have to pay a little bit more and then refund the money back or whatever. I'm hoping that that's going to be maybe just the first month and maybe just some plans, maybe not every plan, but we really don't know for sure yet. I just finished training. We had a week-long training just last week, and that was still kind of up in the air.
I give you a headache too?
Yes. Yes.
Joanne Welsh is in the studio with us today. She is the Elder Benefit Specialist for Richland County. Are there times when we as a general public get mixed up thinking, because Medicare, Medicaid sounds just like it. There are the multiple parts to Medicare. We hear about Medicare Advantage. Trying to figure out, what we're talking about and what we're not. Do we get confused?
Yeah. The most of the ones you see advertised on TV are the Medicare Advantage plans, and they're the ones they advertise as the all-in-one plans, the drug and healthcare coverage. And sometimes people like them. It tends to be people that tend to be healthier because you do get co-pays with that. So some of my people that have maybe chronic health needs don't like them as much because they don't like getting those bills all the time, every time they go to the doctor. But they are cheaper than a supplement, but it's not taking the place of a supplement. Medicare Advantage is just a different way of getting Medicare.
But can you make those changes, after the fact, or is that something that has to be made initially?
Yeah, you have to make your choice on Medicare Advantage before December 7th. I do not enroll people in Medicare Advantage plans. There's so many of them, I don't know the network, and I'm so busy with Part D, I can't do that. There are some local agents that sell them, and typically I'm saying, if you're looking at a Medicare Advantage possibly you want to consider a local agent who knows the network and knows, you know, you, and is not trying to do a bait and switch kind of thing, and you never hear from him again. Having a local agent, you know, can be really helpful.
Sit down face to face and work it out.
You bet.
The number of phishing emails that are related to Medicare open enrollment, it's unreal. If you're not getting them, you're lucky. I think most people are.
Yeah, it can be, there's a lot of scams out there, and it can be very, very confusing to people. And not everybody understands the difference between a Medicare Advantage plan and a Medicare supplement. The Advantage plans tend to have networks. You know, PPOs, preferred provider organizations, or HMOs. So now you're limiting where you can go. And for some people, that's fine. For others, not so much. So you have to kind of decide, you know, is this an option for me? And then there is the thing where you go into a Medicare Advantage plan, and now you get some chronic health issues like heart disease, you know, diabetes, things like that. Now you can't go back to a supplement because they can ask you health questions, and the way you answer those health questions could preclude you from getting into a supplement plan. So you can always go into an Advantage plan at any time. You can't always go back to a supplement.
So if I have traditional Medicare and I have a supplement, can I change supplements at any time?
Absolutely. Any time throughout the year, you can change your supplement. So, you know, there's no rush to consider that. You know, you can certainly talk to an agent. The nice thing about dealing with an agent is he would never disenroll you from your current plan until you got all the information about the new plan. And yes, this is the plan for me. It's exact same things that I had, and the options are all the same. And it's $50 a month cheaper. Then definitely enroll me. You know, I've had people in the past that disenrolled from a plan, and then when they got all the information from the new plan, found out it was going to be more expensive, and then they say, well, I want to go back, and the plan doesn't have to take you back. So dealing with an agent is a good idea.
Because there are lots of pitfalls, aren't there?
Yeah. You know, so sometimes people will say, well, you know, I'm in this plan, it's wonderful. Well, some of the Medicare Advantage plans, you know, they go by age. So, you know, if that person's younger than you, they might be paying slightly less than you. So you can't always say you're going to get the exact same premium that that person has. Or maybe you're a smoker and you have a higher rate because you're a smoker, that kind of thing.
But it strikes me, Joanne, that we can't just look at price alone. We have, I mean, that's certainly a factor, but something that's free may not be the best. And some of them do say free, don't they?
Yes, the Medicare Advantage plans do say free. Typically, those have higher out-of-pocket cost shares. So you kind of get what you pay for, you know. Free isn't always the best for everyone. You know, if I'm super healthy, I rarely go to the doctor, then maybe that's the plan for me. But if I have significant health issues, maybe not.
In some ways, if we all had a crystal ball and we knew exactly how long we were going to live, how healthy we were going to be, you know, what our terminal illness would be if we were going to have one, these decisions would be easy, wouldn't they?
I often say if I had a crystal ball, I would be the best elder benefit specialist in the state.
I think you already are.
I don't know about that, but yeah, I mean, I wish that I could tell somebody, you know, you need to stay in a supplement because, you know, you're going to get sick in 2 years. You know, it's just, you just don't know.
But if mom and dad both did and my siblings have, I mean, the decisions I make for myself have to be based on personal factors in my own life. I can't decide what's right for me based upon what's right for you, can I?
Right. And it's your health history. Yes. And so that's why when you're seeing an agent, I mean, the agent can say, you know, you should do this, but, you know, you have to weigh in on that and say, you know, maybe an Advantage plan isn't the right thing for me because, you know, everybody in my family has heart disease and, you know, I don't feel comfortable about that. And I have a cardiologist that's, you know, in Madison. I want to continue to go to them. Maybe I couldn't with the Advantage plan, that kind of thing.
Now, when we think about the Part D, getting back to that, you know, we used to talk about, or we would, the donut and all these other opportunities. Are those still issues to be concerned with, Joanne?
Well, Medicare Part D does have the It's very similar. There is the deductible phase where you can have up to a $505 deductible. Many plans have less than that, and some plans have no deductible. And then there's the initial coverage period where you pay 25% of the actual cost of the medication. And then there is the coverage gap, which, you know, is like the donut hole, but now it's called a coverage gap, where you pay more. And then after you've paid out like $7,400, then you hit the catastrophic period where you have really, really low copays. So, you know, when you're talking to the doctor and you have a new illness, you know, you can always say, is there a generic version of this? You know, maybe I should try that first before I try this more expensive drug and see if that works for me. Obviously, the lower cost drugs you take, the less you're going to pay for a Part D plan.
Now, let's say a person is on senior care. Should they also go into the plan finder and compare, you know, what medications they're taking or if they're taking medications?
Anybody can go into the plan finder. You can set up the username and password. It's super easy, but you do have to have your Medicare card in front of you when you do that. And you can look at it, and you can have senior care and Part D. Part D pays first, and senior care would pay secondary. So sometimes people do that because they do hit that coverage gap. And so senior care can kind of help them through it. And then, you know, senior care is $30 for 12 months of coverage. So if it didn't help you at all with the Part D plan, well, then next year just don't renew senior care if you felt that it was a waste of your $30. But, you know, it's cheap insurance.
It's also credible coverage, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so for many people that take, you know, say, I have higher income, but my drug is $5 a month. I'm going to go in senior care because the cheapest plan is $6.60, and then there's a copay on top of it. So if my drug is $5, I'm just going to get senior care. And granted, because of my income, it's not going to help pay for my $5 drug. But you know what? For $5, I can just pay that, and I'm good to go. And then, you know, maybe 6 months later, I go to the doctor, and he wants to put me on one of the medications that are offered on TV, because those are all horribly expensive. I have a special enrollment into a Part D plan at any time. So what's not to like about that?
But you think about senior care in that regard, you know, you still are having that credible coverage, but that's an important concept to understand, isn't it? Why credible coverage is so critical important?
Very much so. At 65, you know, when you contact Social Security, they're not going to tell you need to be in a Part D drug plan. This is an option that you have to do on your own. And so you need to be in a drug plan or have creditable coverage, or you later get a penalty. And the penalty changes every year. It's based on the national beneficiary premium for that year. So like this year is like $40-some, and then you take it times the number of months that you were not in a plan. So sometimes I get somebody who's 75 years old, never took a drug plan, and now they want to go into Part D. And by the time I calculate their late enrollment penalty, they can't afford to be in Part D. You know, it's just not going to help them because I'm paying $20 for that plan and they're paying $60. And then they have copays on top of it. So, you know, it's something that you have to consider. So why not take senior care, have that creditable coverage, cheap insurance? Now, one thing to note, though, is senior care is state and Part D is federal. So say I'm in senior care until I'm 70 and then I want to go into a Part D plan. I'm going to get a letter from my Part D plan as soon as I enroll, and they're going to say something about a late enrollment penalty. And so they send a form out talking about this late enrollment penalty, and I need to fill it out with all the dates that I was on Wisconsin senior care and send it back in, and there would be no late enrollment penalty. Now, those forms are somewhat confusing, so if you want to call me, I can help you and make sure that that form is filled out correctly. It's much easier to do it right on the front end than try to appeal it on the back end.
Well, there's a lot to it, isn't there?
There is. It can be somewhat confusing, yes.
But if we adhere to the deadlines and kind of follow the steps, our life is certainly a whole lot better, isn't it?
Yeah, just don't wait to the last minute. 1-800-MEDICARE gets super busy towards the end of, closer to December 7th. The Medigap helpline helps people with drug plans. They get booked up and don't take any more clients. I have sometimes have had that problem in the past, so it's important to get the information to me on the early side so that I can get it back to you, give you time to look it over so you're not rushed at the very last minute. Because if you wait till December 5th, 6th, 7th, I'm not sure that I can help you.
Now, with senior care, is that a calendar year coverage?
No, that's based on the month that you did it. So there's renewals all throughout the year. If I enrolled in January, it's going to go January to January, February to February. You know, that it goes by 12 months. So, and you will automatically get a renewal notice. And then, you just put down your income that you expect to get in the next 12 months, send it back in with your $30 payment, and you're good to go for another year.
Your $30 check seems like a great investment, doesn't it?
It is. Senior care is it's one of the most popular plans, you know, because people understand it. It's easy. It covers most drugs. But, you know, sometimes people with higher incomes, you know, if they have an 850 deductible or, a spend down, it doesn't work for everyone because of their income. So people with the lower incomes tend to like it better. Or if you have a higher income and you just really don't need the coverage, you're just doing it for creditable coverage.
Well, I want to recap everything about, you know, the deadlines when we need to send the information and what the local ADRC office needs us to do. But is there something else about the big picture of open enrollment before we move to that, Joanne, that you'd like to be able to share today?
Well, I would say, you know, definitely when you're looking at the plan finder, there are things called step therapy where the plan wants you to try a lesser expensive drug. So sometimes you might want to stay away from step therapy because you can't be sure that that's the drug you're going to be able to get with that plan. There is prior authorizations for some of the drugs. And usually that's where the plan wants you to meet a certain criteria before you will pay for that drug. So sometimes your doctor has to advocate on your behalf and say, you know, this is the only drug that works for Ms. Smith. You know, she's tried these other drugs. And so the doctor might have to write an appeal on that. So we try to avoid the prior authorization, the step therapy as much as possible.
Is it listed right there in the plan?
Yes, it's right there on the drug. There'll be a little number and you look down below and it'll say, this means that there's step therapy or prior authorization on this drug.
So it's like a footnote or something.
Yes,
on that
it's
page.
A footnote. Yes.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to it, and that's why I think we're so thankful for you. But we can help you help us if we will follow the procedures that you have in place at ADRC.
I think, you know, going on the plan finder, you will find it very enlightening. My sister was a teacher, and I did the plan finder for her the first year, and she was angry at me about the plan I picked for her. The next year, she did it herself, and she realized, oh, my gosh, I was going to the wrong pharmacy. I did not realize that. So, you know, it can be, it is very helpful for her. And now she does it every year and she's, 79 and doing very well. And it's just, it was something that she didn't understand. And going on the plan finder made her understand that some of the choices she was making made her pay more out of pocket.
If we want your help, we need to follow some simple steps, and the first one is to call ADRC, speak to a receptionist, and request a packet to be mailed to us.
Yes, and then get that packet back to the agency as quickly as you can.
Will there be an envelope there or an address so we'll know where to send it?
Yes.
And we can drop it off in your drop box.
Yep, we have a drop
box. Health and Human Services?
Yes, we have a drop off box by our front door, so you can drop it off at night. You know, you don't have to come into the building if you don't want to. Or the receptionist is there in the ADRC to your right as you walk through the building, and she'll take that information from you. The key is, again, just make sure that you're putting down all of the drugs and crossing off the drugs that you no longer take.
And you said some are just going to the pharmacist and saying, can you help me? Give me a list of drugs so I can send this in, that would be very helpful, wouldn't
it? Right. But then again, if you're asking for 12 months of that from the pharmacy, I need to know just the current drugs that you're taking. Now, I don't need to know the ones that you're no longer taking because that will skew the results.
Really, I need to tell my pharmacist that. And what am I currently taking?
Yes. Yes, that would be the most helpful.
And then get that returned to you ASAP, but no later than November 23rd.
That's correct, because I need to mail this back to you so that you can look it over and then decide, is it worth my while to change? Or is there a $20 difference? And you know what? I really was happy with this plan, so I'm going to stay right with it. It's just not worth the time or trouble.
But if we wait till the 23rd, all of us, your life isn't going to be very pleasant. We really need to get this done as soon as possible. And I think then we can put it behind us and get ready to celebrate the holidays with a mind that this is taken care of.
Exactly. And, you know, many sons and daughters can help you do this as well. You know, it's supposed to be easy enough you can do it on your phone. So, you know, if you have a son or daughter that feels comfortable, you know, they can do it. And it can be very helpful to the both of you. It might be something that they can come on the weekend and you guys can do it together, and they can enroll you right on the computer, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Sounds good. Anything in conclusion, Joanne, that you'd like to add? Just remember that November 23rd.
Yes, please get it to me as quickly as possible, and please be very accurate with your list.
Well, best wishes as you strive to provide the best service you possibly can all of us. Joanne Welsh has been our guest on the morning show today on WRCA Radio. Joanne is the Elder Benefit Specialist for Richland County. And all we need to do then, if we are a Richland County resident, is simply call the ADRC, correct?
That is correct. And I am just, unfortunately, because of the concept of time, only doing Richland County residents.
Okay. Let's say that for listeners in Grant or Iowa, Sauk counties, are there similar programs for them through their benefit specialists?
Yes, all elder benefit specialists. This is all that we're doing right now, this time of year.
And I know there have been times when Kayla Williams has come with you, you know, because she is the disability benefit specialist. But have the things that we've talked about this morning for those who are 65 and older, does this conversation also apply to those who would fall under disability benefits?
Right. If they're on Medicare, they would be in a Part D drug plan. So yes, Kayla will help with that. You know, her numbers aren't as high. But yes, she does this, and she's very good at what she does. So, you know, if you have some questions, sometimes the people that are under 60 are much more computer proficient, and mm-hmm. they feel comfortable doing it on their own. But certainly they can call Kayla if they have some questions.
Sounds good. Good to see you. Thanks for giving us the time today.
Thank you.
Joanne Welsh has been our guest on the morning show today on WRCA Radio. And again, the deadline on November 23rd, that's the one on the calendar for Richland County residents to have that information returned to Joanne to have it processed. Thanks for being a part of the morning show today on WRCA FM.